Page 208, the order of matins. We stand. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ. Alleluia. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. O come, let us worship Him. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. The deep places of the earth are in His hand. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hand formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. O come, let us worship Him. The office hymn is hymn 135.
Our psalm of you is in the bulletin. And then again, with Psalm 92.
On the flute and on the harp with Shall speak to them in his wrath, and distress them in his deep displeasure. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you."
As to me, I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession.
You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel.
Now therefore, ye wise, O kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth.
Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I have asked of my Father, Alleluia. He has given me the nations, Alleluia, for an inheritance, Alleluia. Psalm 3. I lay down and slept, I woke again, for the Lord sustained me, Alleluia, Alleluia. Lord, how they have increased to trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me.
Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God.
But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head.
I cry to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill.
I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly.
Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I lay down and slept, I woke again, for the Lord sustained me, Alleluia, Alleluia. And Psalm 99. The Lord is risen indeed, Alleluia, and hath appeared unto Simon, Alleluia. The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He dwells between the cherubim, let the earth be moved.
The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the peoples.
Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy.
The King's strength also loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob.
Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. He spoke to them in a cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance he gave them.
You exit the Lord.
Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill. For the Lord our God is holy. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. And hath appeared unto Simon. Alleluia. The epistle for the resurrection of our Lord is from the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, He was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, He was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid Him." Peter therefore went out and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he stooped down and looked in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also. And he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid Him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing Him to be the gardener, said to Him, "Sir, if you have carried Him away, tell me where you have laid Him, and I will take Him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to Him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Here ends the reading. The responsory is on page 212. Or 213. Mm-hmm. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim his salvation from day to day. Give to the Lord all glory and strength. Give him the honor to his name. Alleluia, alleluia. Now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that sleep. Give to the Lord all glory and strength. Give him the honor to his name. Alleluia, alleluia. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Give to the Lord all glory and strength. Give him the honor to his name. Alleluia. Alleluia. Our sermon text. This is from John 20, verse 17. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In her desire to find Jesus' body, Mary Magdalene can think of nothing else. She doesn't seem the least bit fazed by the presence of two angels sitting in a tomb. When they ask her why she is crying, she responds in a simple matter-of-fact answer. She's so overcome with grief that she doesn't even recognize Jesus. She thinks he is the gardener, and is not until he says her name that she comes to her senses. Now, when Mary Magdalene realizes that it is Jesus standing before her, she grabs onto him with all her might. She is never going to let him go. She saw what happened. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, he returned to his home and continued a normal earthly life. And this is what she thinks concerning Jesus. She has him back, and she will not let him go. But Jesus tells Mary, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Although Jesus is risen from the dead and is standing before her, things are not going back to the way they were before. They are not going to travel around from place to place with Jesus preaching to the multitudes in parables and healing the sick. When Jesus sends Mary to the apostles, it's not to get the gang all back together. No, things are definitely going to be different. Now, when someone says, things are definitely going to be different, it sure sounds like a turn for the worst. But in this case, it isn't at all. Jesus' words explain to Mary Magdalene that there is going to be a new relationship which he will give to his believers. And this includes Mary. Now, formally, Jesus was in a state of humiliation. He appeared as a regular man, sleeping, eating, walking, suffering, etc. Now, there were occasions when Jesus did a miracle or something like that, but he didn't always fully and always make use of his divine nature. But now that Jesus is risen from the dead, we speak of Jesus in his state of exaltation. After his resurrection, Jesus fully and always makes use of his divine nature. Now, Jesus has not ceased to be man. Nevertheless, he has a resurrected body. This resurrected body is able to appear in the locked room where the disciples are gathering, as well as to withdraw itself at will. It can be touched so that the wounds can be examined. But unlike Lazarus, Jesus is not returning to a normal, mundane life. Unlike Lazarus, Jesus will never die again. When Mary physically won't let go of him, he tells her that he is ascending to the Father. The days of his appearing to the disciples are limited. After 40 days, Jesus will ascend and no longer show himself to them. His purpose in revealing himself is so that they will believe in him. They need to be his witnesses to the world that he suffered, died, and rose again from the dead. These disciples and Mary also need to understand this new relationship. Jesus says, "Go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Those words describe the relationship and contain such great comfort for them as well as for us. Jesus wants Mary to be his apostle to the apostles. He is sending her because he wants them to know. You see, they have great sorrow because they have witnessed his crucifixion. They have a guilty conscience because of all of them have deserted him and were scattered on that Thursday night. They are in fear, expecting the Jews to come after them next. Mark's gospel even singles out Peter as especially needing the gospel, since he had denied Jesus three times. And so Mary is the gospel preacher for the apostles to bring them the good news of comfort. So let us examine Jesus' words very closely. First of all, Jesus has risen from the dead. Though he is now appearing to Mary and will appear to the others, these appearances are not his final destination. Jesus explains that he is ascending to the Father. Jesus has risen from the dead, but not to set up an earthly kingdom, but to rule at the right hand of God. Having completed our salvations, Jesus is ruling from his heavenly throne in two ways. One, he is interceding for us before the Father's throne in heaven. He is answering our prayers and granting us his grace and peace. Second, although his visible presence will be withdrawn, he has promised to be present with his church here on earth, wherever his church is baptizing and teaching. Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, the second way that he is ruling from heaven is when he calls his disciples, "my brethren." One time earlier, Jesus alluded to this title when his family was coming to seek him. Jesus said, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." The new relationship is one in which we listen to his word and do the will of the Heavenly Father. His will is that we hallow his name and let his kingdom come through baptizing and teaching. Third, with the words, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God, Jesus is separating and distinguishing himself from us. He doesn't just say, I'm ascending to our Father and our God. However, Jesus is also uniting and connecting himself with us. He doesn't say that it is my Father and my God and he is not yours. No, we too get to call him Father and God. So why does Jesus speak this way? So that he both separates and unites with the same sentence. Jesus Christ is the Father's only begotten Son. He was begotten before eternity. As God's only begotten Son, Jesus took on human flesh so that he might do the Father's will, that is, redeem us from our sins and restore our relationship. Even before the creation of the world, there was a plan for that Son to crush the head of that ancient serpent and defeat the kingdom of darkness. At Jesus' baptism, when our Lord was beginning his ministry, the Heavenly Father spoke from heaven and said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And later, at the Transfiguration, Jesus says the same thing and adds the words, Listen to him. Having forsaken our Lord on the cross, Christ's resurrection is the Father's final proof that he accepts the Son's sacrifice. Oh, the Father is well pleased with his Son. Now, when Jesus distinguishes himself from us, it is because he is the only perfect sacrifice pleasing to the Heavenly Father. We are not in the same league as Jesus. Prior to our conversion, we are prodigals who have squandered our inheritance. But that we may have sure confidence, we need to know this absolutely unique and only person who is appointed to be the Savior. When Jesus calls the Heavenly Father, my God, that is his human nature speaking. And a God is that which you fear, love, and trust. The human nature of the Christ perfectly loved his Lord, his God with all his heart and soul and mind. The Son of God perfectly listened to his Father and perfectly did his Father's will. Now, when Jesus is uniting himself with us, he is giving us the gospel promise so that we learn that through faith in Jesus Christ, we once again have a Father in heaven. Through faith created in our baptism, we have been washed of our sins and become sons of God. Holy baptism is a washing of rebirth, and so we were born again, and we have become newborn sons of God. We usually distinguish our sonship from his as having been adopted on account of our baptism into Jesus Christ. So according to Romans 6, we are united with the Son of God in our baptism so that he takes away our iniquities and we receive his blessings. Believing in Christ, Jesus calls us his brothers. And if we are brothers with the Son of God, then we are sons of God too. Though he is an eternally begotten sonship, ours is a baptismally adopted sonship. Our brother is ascending so that he might rule over us in his heavenly kingdom. He has justified us through his death and resurrection, and now he is sanctifying us through his word and sacraments. Hebrews 2 verse 11 says this, For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. We are his, and he is ours. And so Mary Magdalene has a wonderful message to take to the Jesus apostles. Through Christ's work, we are brothers, and together, sons of God. We have a loving Heavenly Father and a merciful God providing for us. Mary Magdalene does not need to hold on to Jesus. Jesus will always be with us. even to the end of the age. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. The canticle is the Benedictus. It's found on page 217. We stand. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, in the forgiveness of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, when the day shall dawn upon us from on high, to give light to them who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, who through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, has overcome death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life, we humbly implore you that as you put into our minds good desires, so by your continual help we may bring the same to good effect. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Shed your Holy Spirit upon your people, O Lord, and make ready our hearts this day to hear and keep your holy word, that in the communion of your congregation we may rightly sanctify your holy day, and through your word with all your saints come to eternal blessedness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings being ordered by your governance may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Paschal blessing is found on page 244. All of you who are baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. Hallelujah. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." You are God, we praise you. You are the Lord, we acclaim you. You are the eternal Father, all creation worships you. To you all angels, all the powers of heaven, cherubim and seraphim, sing in endless praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. The glorious company of apostles praise you. The noble fellowship of prophets praise you. The white-robed army of martyrs praise you. Throughout the world, the Holy Church acclaims you. Father of a majesty unbounded, your true and only Son, worthy of all worship, and the Holy Spirit advocate and guide. You, Christ, are the King of glory, the eternal Son of the Father. When you became man, to set us free. You did not spurn the virgin's womb. You overcame the sting of death and opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You are seated at God's right hand in glory. We believe that you will come and be our judge. Come then, Lord, and help your people bought with the price of your own blood, and bring us with your saints to glory everlasting. O God, for our redemption you gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross, and by his glorious resurrection you delivered us from the power of death. Make us die every day to sin, so that we may rise to live with Christ forever, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord Almighty bless us and direct our days and our deeds in his peace.